And welcome inside the Backstage Pass, again, powered by the SportsGuysPodcast.com and broadcasting from the Big Timber Entertainment Studios out there, presented by our friends over at the CadenGordonShow.com, today's best country mix. We appreciate all the work that our sponsors do. And now you can hear the Backstage Pass each and every Sunday morning from 5:30 to 6 a.m. on our newest affiliate, WSM AM 650. And guys, we made it past the five-year mark of the show and getting the chance to bring you guys some of the best coverage and interviews in country music, as we follow all these great artists from their rise from the bottom all the way to the top of the country music charts out there. And we've got four great interviews. We decided to go back and make a best of the Backstage Pass. And you'll be hearing from some of the great names in country music over the next 30 minutes or so. Lainey Wilson, Brantley Gilbert, Terry Clark, and Tracy Lawrence. So sit back and relax as they tell their stories and talk about their rise in country music. Enjoy.
Hey, it's John Salisbury for the Sean Salisbury Show, Sports Talk 790, 6 to 10, Monday through Friday in Houston. And you are listening to the best podcast in the business, the SportsGuysPodcast.com. Music, sports, you don't want to miss it. You'll be entertained the entire time.
And back here on the best of Backstage Pass here on WSM Radio, AM 650. Glad to bring you the coverage today, too. And, of course, you can hear us every Sunday from 5:30 to 6 a.m. here, broadcasting from the Big Timber Entertainment Studios and presented by friends over at the CadenGordonShow.com, today's best country mix. You know, guys, Lainey Wilson rose to the top in the last 4 years. We had her here on the show back in December of 2020. Lainey talked to us about the ride in country music. And of course, they call Nashville a 10-year town. Lainey has risen to the top over the last 3 or 4 years, and she talked about here with us here on the Backstage Pass about a special story that her dad told her, and it talked about holding on.
I'm super blessed, and I'm not giving up. That's my thing, you know. I mean, I always, this is kind of a silly story, but I always talk about it when people say, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, or, you know, just holding on and whatever. But I remember, I grew up riding horses, and my daddy, he bought this horse when I was, 8 years old probably, and the horse was 2, and the horse had not been ridden. I mean, I think one person had been on its back. But I remember daddy put me on the horse, and the horse was bucking, and I was crying, and I was saying, "Daddy, I want off, get me off," you know. And I was terrified. And he was like, "No, hold on." And he didn't realize it, but that was seriously probably one of the biggest life lessons I will ever learn.
Wow.
And so just when I feel like I'm about to fall off, I'm just holding on for dear life. And it's all about the ride and working for what you want.
And indeed, it's about working for what you want in life, too, especially in the music industry. And, of course, Lainey Wilson had the pinnacle of her career here in 2024. She took home Female Artist of the Year and the top prize of Entertainer of the Year, the 2024 Academy of Country Music Awards. She joins an exclusive category of few women to earn the top prize. Miranda Lambert was named Entertainer of the Year in 2022. In 2020, Carrie Underwood and Thomas Rhett tied for the title, the first time ever for a tie, and the first time a woman had won the category since Taylor Swift in 2012. Lainey credits a lot early in her career going on the road, Justin Moore, Tracy Lawrence, and of course, a special thanks goes out to Ashley McBride.
It's such a crazy name, because a lot of these people that I've been able to go on the road with are people who I've just looked up to for the longest time. You know, I mean, I just got off the road before, you know, the whole pandemic hit. I was on the road with Justin Moore and Tracy Lawrence. And I just remember listening to Tracy Lawrence when I was a kid, and it was so crazy. I played a 20-minute set. I'm talking about just enough time to get up there, sing a couple songs, and get my butt down. And Tracy Lawrence and Justin Moore, every single night before the tour got shut down, they sat there on the side stage and they watched me. Literally, they watched me walk on stage and they watched me walk off. It was such a cool thing for me, because I was like, you know, when I have the opportunity to be a headliner and I have people opening the show for me, they don't understand how much that meant to me. And it just made me feel like I was one of them, and it made me feel like they supported me and had my back. And really, it's the same thing with, like, Ashley McBride. She has my back. I'm telling you, we played a run of shows together probably this time last year. And she told me, she said, "Lainey, I believe in you, and I think you're going to kill it." She said, but you need to promise me one thing. She said, you need to promise me that when you find somebody who you love and believe in as much as I do you, that you grab their hand and you help them over the wall too. That just stuck with me. You know, when artists like that, who don't have to, but they do, they take the time to get to know you. And because they've been there before, you know, and they've been in the 15, 16 passenger van, just trying to get there, you know, and it's just, I feel like I learn something every single time I get to go on the road with people like that.
And of course, our thanks to Lainey Wilson for joining us here on the Best of the Backstage Pass. The next album coming out is Whirlwind, August the 23rd. A couple of songs off there right now, Hang Tight, Honey, and Country's Cool Again. Be on the lookout for that August 23rd from the great Lainey Wilson. Coming up here, as we broadcast live from the Big Timber Entertainment Studios and presented by our friends over at the CadenGordonShow.com, today's Best Country Mix. We'll talk to the legend, Terry Clark, and we'll talk about her Country Gold podcast out there too. And a credit to the songwriters. You know, we focus a lot here on the artist on the Backstage Pass, and it's time to give credit where credit is due to the songwriters. Terry will touch on that. And of course, the Canadian Country Music Hall of Fame and becoming a member of the Grand Ole Opry. More of that coming up here. It is the Best of Backstage Pass on 650 AM WSM. Stay tuned.
Nothing but net. You're locked into the best sports and music podcast. It's the Sports Guys. And don't forget to check them out at thesportsguyspodcast.com.
And back here on the Backstage Pass, broadcasting from the Big Timber Entertainment Studios in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee, and powered by the sportsguyspodcast.com and presented by our friends over at the CadenGordonShow.com, today's Best Country Mix. You know, speaking of that, one of the all-time greats, Terry Clark, from paying her dues at Tootsie's Orchid Lounge in Nashville, to holding the honor of being the only Canadian female member of the Grand Ole Opry, Terry Clark continues to build an unforgettable legacy, prime for the history books of country music. The multi-Juno Award winner boasts over 5 million albums sold, 3 RIAA Platinum, and 2 RIAA Gold Certified albums, Canadian Gold, Platinum, Double Platinum, and Triple Platinum Certified albums, 13 top 10 singles, including 6 number ones in Canada and the U.S. Terry talked about the songwriters from the 90s, too, as well, that she worked with, and she made her way up the ranks of country music and being relatable to country music fans.
As far as the early records go, you know, I was with Chris Waters and Tom Shapiro were my writing partners for much of the first 3 albums, and Keith Stegall, who signed me to Mercury Records, actually put me in Chris Waters' crosshairs and said, this girl, we're going to make a record on her. Would you like to co-produce the record and write songs with her? So Chris brought Tom Shapiro into the writing thing. And I had been writing songs. You know, I wrote If I Were You before I ever met Chris Waters and Tom Shapiro. I wrote that song by myself when I was waiting tables. And that wound up on the first album. But, you know, we became this songwriting team that we just churned out song after song after song. And almost everything we wrote was really good. I was on fire at the time, and I think at my peak as a songwriter, I think there was a 10-year period where I was really writing great songs, and the people that I was getting to write with were really great writers. So we honed in on something cool that was my style was kind of a turbo honky-tonk traditional. It was country, but it was amped up country, and there weren't a lot of females in the mid-90s really doing that kind of thing. It was more of a pop country thing. You know, Shania was out there, and Faith was huge, and Martina was huge, and I came along with this cowboy hat on, wearing Wranglers and kicking dust around with my boots and singing Better Things to Do. It just kind of, a lot of people latched onto it, and a lot of girls out there that were in high school at the time, you know, and in the 4-H club, who felt like they didn't fit in, who liked country music and lived a country lifestyle, found somebody that they could relate to. And I've got so much feedback and letters like that over the years from people that, more than anything, I think that's one thing that makes me so proud, is that so many young girls were able to relate and didn't feel like they were, you know, a misfit or out there somewhere, and that there was somebody out there they could relate to.
And of course, another big impactful single in Terry's career, When Boy Meets Girl, debuted at number 75 on the U.S. Billboard Hot Country Singles and Tracks for the week of October 28th, 1995.
The hook wasn't my idea, but we came in and realized that it had never been written before. So we sat down and I wrote Better Things to Do with the same guys. And the fact that the title When Boy Meets Girl hadn't been written before. We just plowed right into it. And I had no idea it was going to end up becoming a second single. But, you know, back then we could write a song and we kind of thought, you know, I think this sounds like a hit.
Mm-hmm.
And we were right. And I'll never forget, after we wrote Better Things to Do, Tom, my co-writer, pulled a dollar bill out of his pocket and started rubbing it on his forehead and said, I love the feel of cashable check. It was so funny because he knew he had written 40 number one hits by then. So I think I kind of trusted him. I'm like, you must know what you're talking about then, because I didn't. But it was just such a fun experience writing with those guys. And I have very fond memories of both of them and our relationship. And I continued to write with Tom up until maybe just 4 or 5 years ago. We've continued to write together over the years.
And after all the success that Terry Clark has had, she always talks about the moment she'll never forget. She was inducted into the Grand Ole Opry June 12th, 2004, and is currently the only female Canadian member of the Grand Ole Opry. Shortly after her induction, Clark's first Greatest Hits album, Greatest Hits 1994 to 2004, was issued. And Terry says every time she steps inside that center circle, it's very surreal.
Oh, absolutely. I shake in my boots every time. I'm nervous every time. And now it's back on TV, you know, and it lives online. So there's the added pressure of that. But, you know, you always want to just, you want to do well. It's like, it's like the little kid who's painting, doing a finger painting for his mom for Mother's Day. And he just sits there and wants her to love it. And that's how you feel when you're on the Opry. You just want the approval of, gosh, the legends that started it, that are standing in the wings, that are everybody watching at home. And standing in that circle is the greatest honor a country singer can ever have. I don't care how many Grammys you have, CMAs you have, standing in that circle mm-hmm. is the greatest honor that a country music singer can have. And I think we all realize the gravity of that and what it means. And I feel, you know, when I hear people talk about the Opry, people that are friends of mine, like Ashley McBride, and how much she reveres it and how mm-hmm. how she holds it to such a high level of honor. And, you know, you've got to have reverence for who came before you and how they got there and how the Opry was built. And, mm-hmm. and the fact that you get to be a part of it is amazing. And the fact that I was asked to become a member, I still pinch myself. It's surreal. I can't believe that I'm sitting here still the only female Canadian member. And I hope in my lifetime to see another one go in there. But, you know, I'm going to, of course, enjoy it and, you know, fly the flag proudly as long as I possibly can.
And it was great to see Terry Clark on stage this year performing at CMA Fest 2024 at Nissan Stadium. Terry's not slowing down. Her latest album, Terry Clark Take Two, came out May 31st across all the digital streaming platforms, a collaboration with some of her best hits with Cody Johnson, Lainey Wilson, Lauren Elena, and Kelly Clarkson, and a whole lot more. So be sure and check that out across all those digital streaming platforms. We're not slowing down. Of course, more milestones to come here on the Best of the Backstage Pass. We're celebrating 30 years in country music. We're doing that with the great Tracy Lawrence coming back here, broadcasting live from the Big Timber Entertainment Studios and presented by our friends over at the CadenGordonShow.com. Today's Best Country Mix. You're listening to the Best of the Backstage Pass on AM 650 WSM. Stay tuned.
Making it rain from downtown with sports and music. It's the Sports Guys Podcast, only on the SportsGuysPodcast.com.
And welcome back here to the Best of Backstage Pass podcast, again broadcasting from the Big Timber Entertainment Studios live in Nashville and out there on WSM AM 650. You can check us out every Sunday morning from 5:30 to 6 a.m. as we are powered by the SportsGuysPodcast.com and presented by our friends over at the CadenGordonShow.com, today's Best Country Mix. You know, his distinctive voice made his music instantly recognizable, and his incredible catalog of songs from Time Marches On to If the World Had a Front Porch served as the soundtrack to much of your childhood and, of course, mine too as well. So when you get a chance to meet Tracy Lawrence on the podcast, one of the first questions you ask him is, what was it like to celebrate 30 years in country music?
Hard to wrap my brain around the fact that it's been so long, you know. It doesn't feel in some respects that it's been 30 years, but then I realized that I got a daughter that's in her second year of college and one that's about to graduate high school, and it's like, man, where's the time gone, you know? that there's been so many changes overall that it's a little bit overwhelming. You know, as you look back 30 years and remember, the recording process have changed, distribution process have changed, you know, in the internet and social media and just everything about the way we tour. I mean, it's a completely different landscape out there now. And it's been amazing to be a part of it. You know, I felt like we were probably on the front end of it, that young country movement that kicked off in the early 90s as everything was starting to roll. Was just such an exciting time, man. I don't know if the kids country music understand how much fun we had back then before there were so many cameras on everything you do. We had a great time in the night.
And Tracy also shared with us here on the Backstage Pass how special songs can make special memories, and a song called Alibis had a special Texas connection.
You know, that song actually came from Randy Boudreaux, who's had a lot of hits over the years. I wish I could say that I wrote it. A lot of people don't realize that Tracy Byrd was performing that song at his home club down in Beaumont.
Yep.
That had been part of his set list for a long time. And when Byrd got his deal, they cut it for that first album of his, and it didn't make the record.
Wow.
And Boudreaux started pitching the song around because he really thought it was going to be on Byrd's record. And I found it, fell in love with it, and wound up cutting it, and we hooked the fire out of it. It was just, there was something about waltzes for me that were really different, and I really sucked my teeth into that. And I had a lot of Byrd's fans from back there. You know, my wife's from Beaumont, so I know a lot of folks back in Beaumont. There's a lot of his fans that were upset with me about that. They thought I stole his song. You know, it was just one of those things. And he and I have had the opportunity to get on stage and perform that thing together many times over the years. We've toured together. And he's one of my dearest friends. And the second compilation of the 30-30 collection, as we roll through this process, the second CD that comes out, Byrd is actually doing a duet with me on the second project. I'm excited about getting to share an ounce of space with him as well.
And one of the many things you have to do as an artist in the music industry is learn to be versatile, including wearing a number of different hats. And Tracy talked to us about a couple of 90s songs that made his career even more famous. Stars Over Texas and a song called Texas Tornado, where Tracy had to learn the production side of the music industry.
So Stars Over Texas was written, I believe I was out in Las Vegas at the time when we wrote that. I was, Paul Nelson and Larry Boone were on the road with me. And I believe that song was written at the same time that How Cowgirl Says Goodbye was written. Wrote both those in the same day. They wound up on different albums, but those two were written right there together. You know, the great thing about writing with really good songwriters, once you get a good idea, you know, once you learn structure and all that, if you got a good idea, you can make a hit out of one of them. I mean, and I got blessed to write with some amazing songwriters that taught me a whole lot as I was coming through the ranks, you know, to get me to the place there where I'm older and I know how to structure things and I know how to take a great idea and really make something special out of it. Man, they taught me a lot. So that was my college experience in songwriting because I was learning a lot. I really didn't like Texas Tornado that much.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of them. I really wasn't sold on it, but I made a deal with the record label at the time because I was wanting to produce. I was wanting to start to produce stuff. And I made a deal with Rick Blackburn, who was running Atlantic at the time. I said, okay, I'll cut that song if you'll let me produce part of this album. And so that was on the I See It Now record.
Mm-hmm.
And there are three songs. I got to produce three songs on that album. I got to produce Hillbilly with a Heartache, which I duetted with John Anderson. I got to produce Texas Tornado, and I produced Any Fool Can See. Those were the three songs that I got to produce on that record, and I had two number one records off of it. That led me to be able to produce Renegades, Rebels, and Rogues, and then I basically did Haunt the Time Marches On. So it kind of opened the door.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to cut a deal. I'll cut your song, but I want to produce it. So I've kind of started moving in that direction at that particular time. Of course, now I love it. It turned out to be a massive record.
And, of course, that was indeed a massive record for the great Tracy Lawrence out there, too. Another icon, not slowing down, too. In fact, Tracy just released new music on June the 7th of 2024, a new six-song EP called Out Here In It. We got one final interview to come here on the Best of Backstage Pass episode. It is with the great Brantley Gilbert. And, of course, I got to see him play during CRS Week last year in 2023. He headlined the Grand Ole Opry. And, of course, right now he's not slowing down out there on the Off the Rails tour with Struggle Jennings and, of course, Demon Jones. We'll talk to Brantley about some of the biggest hits he had in his career and a whole lot more. You're listening to the Best of Backstage Pass podcast here on WSM AM 650, presented by our friends over at the CadenGordonShow.com. Today's best country mix and broadcasting live from the Big Timber Entertainment Studios. You're listening to the Best of Backstage Pass on WSM Radio, AM 650. Stay tuned.
Deep pass to the end zone. It's a touchdown for sports and music only at the SportsGuysPodcast.com.
And back here on the Best of Backstage Pass episode, of course, you can catch us every Sunday morning from 5:30 to 6 a.m. on our new station, WSM, Grand Ole Opry Radio, AM 650. We're broadcasting live from the Big Timber Entertainment Studios out there, too, and presented by our friends over at the CadenGordonShow.com. Today's best country mix and powered by the sportsguyspodcast.com. We are the Backstage Pass. We go behind the scenes with some of the biggest upcoming names in country music and, of course, entertainment and sports out there too. Our final look back today is a recent interview we just did with country music superstar Brantley Gilbert. Of course, his new single Off the Rails came out earlier this year in March, and right now he's embarking on a huge tour. And we just got to see Brantley back in Fort Worth, Texas at Billy Bob's on the Off the Rails tour. And of course, he was originally signed to Colt Ford's label, Average Joe's Entertainment. He released Modern Day Prodigal Son and Halfway to Heaven. And of course, Brantley right now too as well has done so much in his career, looking back on 20 years and a special song that Brantley remembers very well, One Hell of an Amen.
Absolutely, man. And you know, I wrote that song about two people whose legacies drastically changed my life. And had the opportunity to write it with two of my favorite people in the world. One, the late, great Mr. Mike Deacon, and, you know, Brian Davis. And, of course, you know, anytime you write a song with somebody, we all, you know, draw from our own experiences. But for me, it was about, you know, two guys whose legacies drastically changed my life and their communities and their friends and family around them. And, you know, wanted to see what that would do on a grand scale. And that song was so special, man, because it took on so many meanings throughout its time. And to this day, you know, you still have people come up and say, hey, you know, that song kind of helped me through this or come to terms with this. And, you know, even for me, it changed. I was actually on my honeymoon when we were making the final push to make that song a number one. And I got a call from my uncle telling me that my grandfather passed away. My grandfather was a Navy vet. It's one of my favorite people on the planet. And, you know, it was kind of strange that the song ended up, you know, something that I wrote to hopefully benefit lots of other people, ended up kind of helping me a little bit. But, you know, that song has turned into, you know, it was never really a mourning or a grievance of death. It was more about a celebration of life. When we play that thing live to this day, you know, it's more of an anthem. You don't get like a somber feeling. You know, there's lighters in the sky and there's, you know, there's people singing at the top of their lungs to remember people and the good things about them and the legacies they left behind. And, you know, that song, that'll be something I think we play every show until I'm gone.
And Brantley also talked to us about a terrific song that also changed the landscape of his career too as well. And it was a song that was certified platinum by the RIAA on March 25th, 2014. Reached its million sales mark in the U.S. in June of 2014. We're talking about Country Must Be Countrywide.
I wrote that with Colt Ford and, again, the late, great Mike Deacon. Colt and I called him Uncle Mike. He was an old-school songwriter from back in the day, man. He wrote Scarlet Fever for Kenny Rogers. And, you know, he had some other cuts, too, later in life, like Size Matters for Joe Nichols and things like that. But he wrote One Hell of an Amen, Country Must Be Countrywide. Wrote several songs with me that are some of my favorites. And we'll miss him forever. But I remember Colt and I talking. It was like, man, growing up, I didn't leave the house much. We had family in Indiana, but we never really went very often. But I always thought, for whatever reason, when I was young, that once you crossed the Mason-Dixon line, that, you know, that was kind of the end of the country, and everything up north was city people or something. I don't know what I thought, but it, you know, I remember getting back from, you know, one of our first like countrywide tours and having a conversation with Cole. I was like, dude, there's rednecks everywhere. They're just like us. They just talk about it. You know? Even Canada, you guys have rednecks.
Yes, we do.
Real rednecks in Canada.
And of course, country music always needs a great drinking song. Brantley had one of those with Bottoms Up.
Oh man, I'm telling you, that song had legs that I didn't see coming. We just passed the 10-year anniversary of that song, so I'm showing my age here. But yeah, that man is a special song, and was able to write it with some incredible dudes, and you know, I remember hearing the idea at first and being like, okay, there's something there, but I can't say that I left the room thinking that this is going to be one of my biggest songs ever. It was one of those that, man, it kind of got played for folks in the office, and everybody kind of gravitated towards it more so than I saw coming. So, it's been a special song, man. We got to have some fun with it. Got to do a remix with T.I., which I thought was pretty cool. Not a left field. A lot of folks didn't understand that, but I thought it was awesome. But yeah, man, that song's been great for us.
One of your other great ones to come out there was You Don't Know Her Like I Do. And man, just the instrumentation, the production, what you guys did with it in the studio. And I mean, another one lyrically that had to be fun just as much to sing, to record and play live.
Oh man, You Don't Know Her Like I Do was actually, it's got a crazy story to it. So my wife and I, had some crazy history. We were, you know, for on and off for a few years, and then we went, you know, 6 years without seeing or speaking to each other. And during that time, you know, I had heard that she'd moved on, and it was time to pick a new single, and that one was on the table, and I knew she liked country radio, and I knew she was going to hear it. So I pulled some redneck stuff, and it was kind of a below the belt punch. It wasn't really something fair to do, but it worked out all right. I also built a house that she had to pass when she came home from college. Every time she came home to visit her mom from college, she had to pass that house. And you know, that song was all over the radio at the same time. And it worked out pretty good because we're raising our two kids in that house now, and we played that song at our wedding. So, well, we didn't play it. There was a string band that played it. It was really cool.
So if Brantley Gilbert was not a musician, what other occupation would he be doing?
Buddy, I was one of those guys, and my parents really wanted me to go to college. So I tried for, I think, a semester or so. And my major changed like three times within that semester. I thought at first, I was like, you know, the law enforcement sounded kind of neat. You know, and then I looked at myself and my record and my friends around me, and I was like, yeah, that won't work. So we got away from that real quick. And I thought about then, I was like, man, you know, I feel like I communicate pretty well with people. And I've always been a guy, for whatever reason, that, you know, people would come to and share their problems with me. So I was like, man, maybe I need to be like a counselor. You know, and I thought about being a marriage counselor. Thank God that didn't work out, bro. I'd have been more responsible. I've been responsible for more divorce than freaking social media, man. Can you imagine? Look, I don't think it's going to work. But I think probably coaching, man. I coached for a little while, and I really enjoyed it. You know, that's kind of in context. Let's be honest. I'm not Carrie Underwood. I don't have a voice like that. I can sing songs that I write, and I write songs that I can sing. And
that's what country music is all about right there. Great storytelling. And Brantley Gilbert is still doing it out there, 20 years strong on the Off the Rails tour. Check him out at BrantleyGilbert.com and go download the latest single, Off the Rails, across all the digital streaming platforms. Our thanks to Lanny Wilson, Terry Clark, Tracy Lawrence, and Brantley Gilbert for making it possible here for the first of many Best of Backstage Pass episodes too. We're back, of course, with our new affiliate next Sunday, WSM AM 650 from 5:30 to 6 a.m. in the morning, broadcasting live from the Big Timber Entertainment Studios. We'll talk to you guys next week on AM 650 WSM. Until then, take care and God bless.